You're listening to the Table of Malcontents, where Aaron Armstrong, Dave Schrader, and Barnabas Piper talk about the books they love and a few they really don't to help you be a better reader. Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode of the Table of Malcontents. I'm Aaron, and with me of course is Dave.
I'm feeling it, man.
You are. You look tired.
I'm feeling it. I haven't had any caffeine, so I don't know what I'm going to say today. But I'll say this. I've got a newborn puppy. I do have a puppy, but I don't, newborn, yeah, sure, it's a puppy.
Sure.
It's a puppy. It's like going back to the newborn stage of children where you just aren't sleeping. But man, it's like 20 degrees outside last night, which for Canada, that's like the Bahamas.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you know, actually, today when we're recording it, it was like 37 degrees, something like that.
Are you feeling at home in this weather?
Oh, it was fine. I went out for lunch without a jacket on. It was great.
Oh, my gosh. He's wearing short sleeve shirts.
I am.
Oh,
man. I am.
He's wearing the Aaron outfit, which I love.
I have a uniform.
He does.
I'm okay with that.
I know.
You guys need to be okay with that, too.
You and Mark Zuckerberg. I like it.
Don't put me in the same category as that guy. No. He's doing all kinds of sketchy things. No. I'll take Steve Jobs ahead of him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Man. And I mean, he was something else, but...
They're both something else.
They're their own special kinds of something. Right. So
Our Facebook promotion of this is going nowhere now, apparently.
Oh, well, don't worry. We don't put any money into Facebook, and they don't show any money. They don't show things to anybody anyway.
Man, unbelievable.
They do like your money.
That's true.
Well, that's not true. They show me ads of things that are wildly inappropriate and then tell me how they're not violating the ad standards by showing me wildly inappropriate things.
Man, bitter party of Aaron.
I don't particularly like seeing animated, pieces of adult anatomy.
Wow.
okay. Parts that the...
All right,
there
folks,
we go.
This is a reminder that this episode is PG-11.
That's
apparently,
right.
He thought it was PG-13, this one. But we're just going to... We're gonna reel it back in.
That's
all right.
That's all I was gonna say about that. That's all I'm gonna say. So,
and we have a special episode right now.
We do. We have a special guest. Well,
we're missing something.
We are. We're missing Barnabas, the third member of this TriCast, and as we sometimes say, we can't use that word.
We're not doing that for our guest's sake. But just us. Yeah, that's it.
But we co-people.
But since we do co-people, there's lots of co-peopling on this. So nevertheless. Since Barnabas is the king,
fired today.
No, not at all. Since Barnabas is the king of snark, we have brought the queen of snark in with us today, Rachel Shaver.
Hello.
She's immediately regretting this decision.
She is.
No.
We need to balance the force, and we thought, okay.
That's true.
Let's see. Was it Judson Abernathy who said that, that you're the angel on my shoulder and Barnabas is the devil. He's the devil on the other. So you're not representing that. I just want you to know. They're like,
so
Dave's just stuck in the middle.
Listeners, just internalize this one thing. Barnabas is the devil.
Wow.
That's harsh.
That's pretty rough. I know.
Nah, that's not true.
But he kind of embraced it in a way.
He did. He's like, I can own this.
I can own this, we all have our personalities, so they made me the bland Midwesterner. That's what I've been labeled now in this. So
no,
fair enough.
You labeled yourself that, sir.
Okay, well, fair enough.
You said you're in the middle.
Enough. All right. Well, we have the most awesome Rachel Shaver with us.
Thank you.
Yes, we love having Rachel here. Rachel's like, "Why am I here?"
That was so
agreed
tentative.
To do this. Wow.
It's going to be great.
Thank you. This is, if anyone could see Rachel's face right now, it's like, okay.
My face doesn't lie.
No, it doesn't. And that's why we love Rachel.
Yes.
Rachel's one of those. I've worked with you now for 5 years here this month, and we've had a lot of fun. One thing I love about Rachel, she is she's very honest. Very honest.
Hey.
Yes.
Life's too short.
That's
be
true.
Anything but honest.
That's very true.
I would affirm that.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, Canadian, I mean, you know, you're honest, you are. You just apologize for it.
Well, that's how we diffuse the tension, right, is we apologize in advance. Mm. Then we tell you what you think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that makes it okay. Just like Ricky Bobby saying, with all due respect, before he insults you.
Or Jerry Seinfeld saying, I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, just saying.
Not
just
that there's anything wrong with that, all right?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Okay, that doesn't fit.
Hold on here.
No, we don't need to start this again, do
no, we?
No,
we don't. We
okay,
do not.
Good.
So, before we talk, we're reminded Rachel is the book Medea. And there's someone in this room who doesn't know who Medea is, or at least not till now. And it's not Rachel, and it's not Dave. Okay, he got on his computer like right away. Like, wait a minute, Medea. What does that mean? Who's that? So we've had to educate Aaron a little bit about who Medea is. So Rachel, why don't you explain Medea real quick?
Medea is who I want to be when I grow up.
Okay,
she's just someone that doesn't take any nonsense. Put it PG-11.
PG-11. That's it. I like that.
No nonsense.
Very witty. Yes.
Yeah. No nonsense.
Okay. No nonsense.
Tells it how it is.
Yes.
Takes care of business.
Great with one-liners.
Yeah,
yes.
I love that about
She's the queen
her.
Of... Yes, absolutely. That's what I like about Medea.
Okay.
Yes.
I aspire to be like Medea. I'm not going to claim Medea status.
Okay. All right. I like it. Well, you're going to claim the book Medea status,
though. I'll take that one. Yeah.
All right. That's it.
All right.
We all get along because we do love books, and that's part of why Rachel is on the show.
Yes.
So,
yes.
We love books and reading.
We do. We do. So, Rachel, how many kids do you have?
I have 3 children.
Uh-huh. Tell us about them.
2 boys, 6 and 3, and 1 girl who is 2. Our house is busy. Busy.
Yep. Man.
We are having toddler Medeas at my house,
oh.
which will serve them well when they're older. But right now, there's 3 Medeas at home, and I'm the boss Medea.
Whoa, Medea. Man, I like that. You need to update any social media account with that. Just write that.
Boss Medea.
Not just, the book Boss Medea, something like that.
I
don't know,
do
but you're the boss
today.
Medea.
Yeah, so I'm the boss Medea. No, my kids are great.
Do you think you could make a whole website that's on that?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't have that trademarked.
Oh, okay. That's
but I
true.
Bet Tyler Perry.
Pretty sure
does.
Medea. Pretty sure Medea is untouchable. But
true. But you know, we could drive down to Atlanta, and
that is very true.
We could find out.
Yeah.
See if we could co-partner.
And then when someone bailed us out of jail.
Yeah, that's very true. Speaking of Atlanta,
we could hopefully still have our jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many movies made in Atlanta now. Yeah. I mean, not just Atlanta, the the R&B show, whatever that is, but whatever it is.
What?
I haven't watched it.
I don't
Donald
know.
Glover, you know,
Donald
the
Glover,
his book.
Yeah.
Is it ATL or just Atlanta? It's just Atlanta, right?
Is it like the record label show?
Yes.
I think so.
Kind of built around his pursuit of a rap career as Childish Gambino, right?
Sure.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
I love how our Canadian knew that. That's just so awesome.
I don't know who Medea is, but I know that.
Well,
man.
We're a good team then.
We're going to
fill in the blanks for one another our pop culture knowledge.
So. Yes. I like it. I like
well
it.
Done. Well done, people.
Well, along with that title, Rachel is been the senior books buyer and focused a lot on kids right now this past year or two, kids books here at Lifeway, which has been awesome.
Yes, so fun.
So fun.
So fun.
So fun. Because she's, you know, she's a mom. She's got kids who are like the ripe age who buy all these books.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
I love kids books.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the best kind.
They are, absolutely. You know, we haven't really talked about this. Maybe this is like, we need to discuss this. We might as well just go right at it.
Let's just go for it.
All right, can I claim a kid's book on Goodreads? When does it become something I can claim that I read? Because if I've caught up to books with you then. These guys are reading like 100, 150 books a year. I'm reading.
Do manuscripts count? Because you could maybe claim it if you can claim
you
manuscripts.
Could probably.
I'll claim those once they're out though. So I'll wait until like it's helpful to that book.
So it's kind
book.
Of advanced
like,
reading.
So it's a book, it comes out in a few months and I read it like 6 months ago and I'm like, okay, now I can do
I
it
can
probably
claim that
soon
now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That makes sense.
If you claim audiobooks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole episode on audiobooks.
You claim them as reading?
Here's the thing. Only because Goodreads does not give you the does not just give you a completed option. It's just a problem with the vernacular on Goodreads. That's all.
Hey, we're honest. Don't give us that look of guilt. What are you talking about?
To books.
Yeah, no, we're listening. Yeah. Now, do we agree your experience is a little bit different? Are you absorbing the content? Yes, you're absorbing the content. You're having an experience with it. It's just a different experience of it. Now, we particularly like audiobooks at 1.5 speed or above when we get really wild.
Well, so. I limit myself to 1.5 because then it doesn't sound like I'm listening to every book as read by Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yes.
That's not true, though.
Yeah.
It does sound like that. It does, Dave.
But yeah. thinking of the people who we want to sucker punch, I'm going to add in Will Wheaton. Reading Ready Player One.
You needed that one. I needed that. Sure.
Of course, I didn't mean. No, that was I went up to 1.75 on that, and I was just fine.
Yeah,
he talks so slow, and he's
is that
like,
why you wanted to sucker punch him?
That's why that guy went up and punched.
My only experience with Will Wheaton is Big Bang Theory.
Okay. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What about Stand By Me?
Stand by Me? Nothing.
Nope.
Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, no. No Star Trek.
Okay. Well, okay.
We can't be friends anymore.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's fine.
All right.
It's fine.
1.5, 1.75,
He's lying.
Either way.
We're friends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's being Canadian.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm trying to think here. Yeah, I think Stand By Me was the first thing I saw Will Wheaton in.
Well, I mean, I was a child actor at that time.
Yeah, but I was far too young to really have been watching the movie, but
Josh, I mean when did that come out, like 87 or something like that? I was only
85 maybe.
I don't know. I was definitely under 10 watching it, which is
pretty dark for a 10
with our side conversation about Goonies, like this is where that's worse than Goonies.
Were like
yeah
that, though.
Yeah, but this
all the things that you watched as a child.
In
the 80s that you didn't think were bad, and now you look back as a parent, and you're like, questionable.
It's like, oh, that's questionable.
Stranger Things is making a lot of money off that idea of these kid buddy movies from the
80s.
But
it's really nostalgic.
It is.
It's adults our age watching that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my kids aren't watching that.
No.
We're reliving our childhood. I'm good with that.
You know, we're going to get back to books in a second here, but I mean, we'll get there. Don't worry. But I mean, I wanted to watch Back to the Future with my oldest, and I have been vetoed so far on that.
By your wife?
Because primarily out of language concerns.
Yeah.
And you know, there's some content in there.
There's some content. Interesting. It's interesting content.
It's bizarre. Now, but as a kid, I didn't pick up on that.
If you explain the plot to someone, it's like, that's really twisted. That it's like, guy goes back in time and mom falls in love with him.
Yeah, it's
That's kind of sketchy. Yeah. It's like he almost became his own dad.
Think about that one. No, let's not
all right,
do that.
Moving
anymore.
On.
No, let's
moving
not.
On.
Let's
going.
Not.
Back going. To books. Books, books, right. books. And that's stuff right. you're not going to see in your typical kids' book, which is good news.
It is not.
But you asked a big question. You asked a question about when do you claim, can you claim a kid's book
I know.
On Goodreads?
I guess we haven't talked about that.
So, I mean,
one. That seems
I guess
like,
here's the question. And I mean, we're going to have to give Barnabas an opportunity to jump in on this when he's allowed in again.
So we just won't end this discussion. We'll continue
it
on.
Yeah, but we're going to get Rachel's point on this. We're gonna voice a possible opinion, and then we're gonna jump into it again.
No resolution today. Okay.
Like most of the things that we do. There's no resolution. Right. It's
when does it become enough to claim as a read book
so
on Goodreads?
Is it a picture book in that it's, you know, 32 pages, 1,000 words kind of thing? Like so, does that count?
I'm going to look on Goodreads real quick, just curious if they list all kids' books. They will. They do put them out there.
They put everything in there.
It's just a big feed.
I'm going to say, does the book impact you more than some 50,000-word book?
Whoa! There it is. There it is. All right. I like that. I like that. That's a good answer.
That was really good.
That's a good answer.
I don't think I have anything to combat that with. That's pretty good.
But I mean, I think that's kind of the point is it a good book?
Let me a little context that what we've talked about in the podcast so far, like when we talk about books that have shaped us, for example, we seem to be around middle reader and we don't go lower than that. I'm just talking about like what we remember because it's not like saying like, Goodnight Moon shaped my life and this and that. Well, of course we loved it growing up because everyone read Goodnight Moon and
I didn't.
Oh gosh.
Canada. I never read it until I was a parent.
Until Canada. A parent. Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
All right.
Now, that said,
Margaret Wise Brown, man.
No.
Come on.
At least not that I remember. I mean, there are lots of, there are holes in my knowledge of my childhood.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, Robert Munsch was all over my childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys probably have no idea who that is, except for like one book, which is Love You Forever.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not, and now this is my side note, sidebar. That is not even close to indicative of his standard storytelling style. He writes absurdist humor books for kids that are really, really fun. And they're actually ideas that are often pitched to him. By, like, he'll, like someone, a fan will want to him to write a story kind of thing. And so he'll actually name the character after a real child. And stuff like this. He also did a lot of coke in the late 80s and early 90s.
Well, you know.
And
There's that.
His stuff was fantastic. But I mean, one of our favorites is The Paper Bag Princess. And the whole it flips the archetype of the damsel in distress story on its head, where a dragon comes and burns down the whole castle and steals the prince. Mm. And all that's left is the princess. I think her name's Penelope. And there's just her and a paper bag that's left. So she puts on the paper bag, goes and sets off to rescue the prince. And does it. And when she does, the prince, I think his name is Robert or something like that. He, what?
Just Robert. Robert's the prince.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Penelope and Robert.
Okay. So, but he's like, you know, oh, look at you. You're a mess and you smell like smoke and soot. You know, come back when you look like a proper princess. And so she's like, you know, I thought you were pretty great, but you're a bum. And so it's really great. It from that perspective too, subversive in many ways. Teaching the young ladies a little bit of self respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you have one in your head like that fits, like how young of an age group would you say there's a book that you have in your head?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'd have to think on that for a minute. But there's no book that.
But you're leaving that open.
I'm leaving that open.
The fact that, like, you know what, if there was
there are formative children's books for sure, and so that's what I'm saying is if I can read a 60,000 word book, and as you all have discussed, maybe that should have been a blog post, maybe it should have been a tweet, didn't need to be a book. But then I can read my son a 16 spread board book and really come away with something, and then just those moments where you're reading those books with your kids, those are like memory. You can probably remember your mom or dad reading a book to you, right? When you're little.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, I think kids' books create those moments, whereas we consume a lot of books and not all of them stay with us like that.
Yeah. There's I can't remember from my own childhood, but I certainly am thinking of like what books sit so deep in my heart from ones I've read to the girls, read with them, Guess How Much I Love You. I just think of that. I also, like, a friend of mine read that at a funeral for a child that died, and that was like their favorite book. And like, so I always think of that and I'm in tears like every time. But also it's you know, if you guys haven't read it, it's a wonderful parent bunny. It's a boy. I think it's a dad or mom. I'm not sure. It didn't really specify, but kind of just hopping around trying to tuck in. It's, you know, baby bunny. It's as simple as that, but it's like a sweet love.
But it has
affection
a good message, too.
Yes.
And it's a clear message.
Yes.
So, whereas you're not trying to pick it out of 60,000 words.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's clear and to
that's,
the point.
Yep. What can we learn from children's books?
What can we learn from children's books?
So,
should we stop calling them children's books?
Well,
for that reason alone.
So, I'm going to say yes. Yeah. But I mean, I have long harbored the suspicion that that writing a children's book is the hardest kind of writing to do, because it requires you to be clear, to be simple, and to be creative all at the same time.
Yeah. Writing kids' books is incredibly complex.
Right.
People think, everyone thinks they can write a kid's book,
right? And that's why so many are terrible.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We're not naming any in this
one.
No, we're not naming names.
And there's a, there are a lot that are just amazing.
Yeah.
And not terrible that you want on your bookshelves for your kids, right?
So.
But. You have to think about that when you're writing a kid's book, because you can't just say, well, and then he said this, and then you've got to think about action and movement and how the art tells a story behind the scene that can, you know, move the plot forward without words.
Yep.
And then keeping a kid's attention, which is not easy.
No.
As we all know, because we all have children that don't always listen to us.
This is true. This is true. Like, so I think about some of the books that my kids adore. And we adore them too, like the Elephant and Piggy books by Mo Willems. Mo Willems, just in general,
The pigeon
is
so good.
Of modern, so for modern children's storytellers, it's hard to find one who's better than him.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
He's so good.
So I find what's fascinating is my youngest daughter Ainsley is a very good reader. She's reading Harry Potter, 9 years old. But she always wants to go back to Mo Willems.
Yeah.
Right.
And she wanted to buy a few new ones for Christmas this year. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say no. I mean, I love them. If I didn't like them, I would feel differently. But I'm like, no, they're wonderful.
Right.
All of them. Elephant, Piggy, Pigeon.
Pigeon.
I mean,
so
he's got the new ones. Is his new series since involves squirrels.
I saw that.
Because the Elephant and Piggy series is all done. And there's like 50 books or like 28 books in that series.
Yeah.
We're missing three of them, so.
Amazon.
Gotta be on it. Gotta be
on it. Yeah, we may be maybe remedying that soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're so good. You know, an unexpected one that we enjoyed a lot was The Book with No Pictures by B.J. Novak.
Yes.
B.J. Novak.
And it's like, okay, so here's the thing.
It's funny how the Office writer can do that. Yeah.
Right. That it's like,
I've not seen
that. This is a guy who his entire career is based on playing a sociopathic narcissist.
Yeah.
He's lovable.
Is he though?
No.
Is he?
No, in the best way, because.
Is there a best? There's no
Ryan,
best
Ryan, Ryan from The Office.
No.
Ryan
is
terrible.
He is terrible. That's the whole point. It's like, he's like why you love Seinfeld characters. They're all terrible people, but you love them. I mean, come on. You got to tell me, when Ryan comes back after taking Jan's position in New York, and you see him with the half beard, it's the beard. It's like the execu beard, and him smiling at the camera. I mean, I lost it. It was my favorite Ryan moment, and I thought he's turned so well from intern to this,
and
it's
that was
sadistic.
That was a quick shift.
It was like
intern to executive in one step.
Well, but he finished his MBA. He finished his MBA. You know, that's what got him above. That's with David Wallace. That's sad. I know all these characters.
No,
yeah.
I love The Office.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So.
Wow.
But all that book's great. I mean, again, because it does exactly what it needs to do to be a good children's book.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that is, and that's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too.
It
is so hard
to
do.
It is hard. Mm-hmm. We like the Gruffalo book.
I haven't read those.
My sons love the Gruffalo book.
I'm gonna look it up. Okay.
And so it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's adventure. It's repetition, which is always good for younger kids. So they kind of try to guess what's going to happen next.
Okay.
And we really like King Jack and the Dragon.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the artwork seems a little bit like Where the Wild Things
are. Yeah, it's similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
got
Netflix
it.
Actually did a short movie or a series on the Gruffalo. Yeah, we've watched it. But the kids love the book more. They don't want to watch the series. They want to read the book. Yeah,
that's perfect. Win-win. So good. Have you read the Mother Bruce series?
No.
Okay. These are funny. The whole premise is that this grumpy bear who just wants to be by himself all the time. He gets some eggs. He steals some duck eggs and to make himself some dinner, and they end up hatching, and he's got these ducklings that see him as their mom.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is it funny?
Really funny. There's a whole series of these books.
Are they like middle reader, or are they picture books?
No, they're picture books. They'd be right in with your kid's age.
Gotcha.
My kids are sadly aging out of that stage. It's cool. It's cool though, because we're moving into the new, like, to the next stage with our reading.
Yeah.
We took a trip out to McKay's. McKay's. No. Let's not do that. No. Just no. We don't talk like that, people. We don't talk like that, eh?
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. We're all nodding. He does. Yep, they do.
Just a little bit.
So does
Daniel M. Actually, not at all.
Except for when I'm doing it ironically.
We watch a lot of hockey at home, and all I'm saying is those Canadian players sound like that.
Can you refute it? Okay.
I can't refute it. But there's some words that they're not saying that are very common in our vernacular as well. And because we like our jobs, and because we're trying to keep it PG-11.
I was about to say.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we're not going to say any of those. But there we go.
I love it.
Right up to the line, everybody.
No, it's good.
Right
up to the line. That's all right.
So, so our oldest, she's reading, like, she super loves, middle grade fiction. She's really into, like, random, like, fantasy books right now. Yeah. So it's okay. I'm trying to help her branch out a little bit more, too,
But I love, we talked about last episode about she tried The Hobbit. Too much.
Didn't like
you know,
it.
There's like a level of like we certainly when we get to things that are.
You can say that louder.
I did not like The Hobbit.
No, I know.
Don't send the mean tweets.
That's okay.
I didn't like it as much, well, but you guys kept saying.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
I think it's just so. Everyone talks about it like it's the greatest thing. And I just didn't feel like it was the greatest thing.
Yeah. That's okay. That's all right.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing at all wrong with that.
But where I was going with that is that I think we yearn for simplicity sometimes. I think for things when they get like way too over our head, not because mentally we can't take that, it's because it loses its impact. I think I've come that way in terms of books in general. I thought like, okay, I like reading more complex things. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not enjoying this. I can read it, sure, but it's too much. I mean, you want to be challenged. You want to do some. We talk about in the show being challenged by different genres that gets us out of our comfort zone. But sometimes you're like, okay, sometimes there's an academic that writes way too over anyone's head. The point where it's not useful, it's not helpful, and thus it kind of points you back.
Can I sidebar us again just for a second? Academic writing, just as an aside, I struggle to view academic writing as real writing because most of it is so bad.
Wow. Are you taking a seminary class right now?
I am not.
You're not? Okay.
Because I have three children.
She has three children. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Rachel. And she's
I'm,
here.
Yeah. And I'm feeling the pressure to restart my seminary.
Yes, I am enrolled.
I'm still technically, are you like Ross and Rachel break or
Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, kind of. Like,
okay, there you go.
Maybe we'll get back together at some point in my life.
It's unsure right now.
It's just unsure.
I respect that. Yeah. I respect that.
Speaking of Ross, Sucker Punch Ross.
Yes.
Remember we talked about that last one, too.
Yeah, we may have to ask you that when we get back to that.
We'll come back there. Think about a character you'd like to sucker punch.
Okay,
all right, so just hold on. I'll park on that. All right, but let's go positive here on this, too.
Tell me about
a book growing up that helped you like fall in love with reading. I would love to know kind of what for you that was.
I loved reading, period.
Yeah, you're a reader.
Yeah, I was a reader. I was the kid that would like, mom and dad would make you go to bed at 9 or whatever, and then I would have my flashlight under my covers reading my books until 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And so I remember the first series that I really enjoyed was The Boxcar Children.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that series. Kind of got into, like, Nancy Drew and The Hardy Boys. I think those were the earliest that I can remember really, like, digging into. And I read every single book in those series.
Cool.
And I couldn't wait to have more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we were all readers. My whole family reads. Mm-hmm.
So was it like you're seeing other family members read and thus you're like, oh, well, that's what we do, you know? I mean,
I think my mom and dad always just fostered that. Yeah. I mean, we always went to the library. That's kind of what we did. We got to pick out however many books we wanted. And those are memories, you know, 30-something years later, are vivid. I can remember going and doing that and really enjoying it. And then my mom read all the time. We had stacks of books everywhere.
That's awesome.
And then I have a sister that's almost a decade younger. So I remember when Harry Potter came out, I was not young, like a lot of people. It was fun because I remember reading those to her because she was young. And so the Harry Potter experience that I had.
Was she like a tween or something?
Younger? 8 or 9 or 10.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So we read those to her, my other sister and I. Yeah. So, reading's just something that I've always loved and now get to do and get paid to do it, which is even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, now my kids are starting to read. So Reed, my son, is reading.
Mm-hmm.
And he read me 2 books last night. He's in kindergarten.
That's awesome.
So he read 2 full books.
Way to go, Reed.
That's awesome.
By himself to me. Yeah.
That's great.
And he loves it. Like, you can just see the excitement when he gets a word that looks a little hard, you know. So it's fun. It's a fun place to be right now.
Yeah. Boy, that's it right there. If any of your anyone listening to that, kids who struggle with vocabulary, like, man, just read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it when it's like, what does that mean? Or they mispronounce it. I'm like, well, I'll pronounce it for them. And like, here's what it means. But you read the sentence. Tell me what you think it means. It's so fun to see that connect. I'm like, that's
and
what
the light
reading
goes
does.
On, and it's so fun.
Like,
and
you don't just have to memorize something from the dictionary. You know, you can actually learn it this way.
My favorite was he was reading a line in a book and it was funny. You know, and then right after he read it, it took like a couple seconds and then he busted out laughing. But it was like, you know, his brain was processing the words and not necessarily what he was actually reading. But then he thought about it for a second and started laughing. It was sweet. It was fun.
That's awesome.
So this is a fun stage
right
now.
That's huge.
That's great.
I love it when that click happens right there. Tell us about some books out there that you see being someone in the industry that you want people to know about. Kids books.
Kids books.
Yeah.
I think Ellie Holcomb's new book, Who Sang the First Song.
It's a beautiful book.
Is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is really sweet. All of my kids love it. So there's kind of an age span, age span from 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different levels of what you can actually grasp and understand. But my kids all love that book. And the artwork is beautiful. It's so whimsical. There's so much story that the art tells that the song or the, it's a song too, but that the book doesn't automatically come out and say. And we have fun just looking at the pictures and picking out all the things that are going on in the story. So I think that is probably the most well done entire product that I've seen in a long time.
That's awesome.
But, there are a lot of really good books. It's hard to just narrow it down. I love The Day the Crayons Quit. Have you seen
Yes,
that book?
I That's, love that. We have that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun book.
I don't think it's, I've heard of that.
I'll bring it in. We'll all read it together.
Yeah. Well, that'd be good. Yeah, that'd be good. Can we read it on the podcast?
Sure. Yeah.
Can we get in trouble
You
for
need
that?
To experience it.
It's a fun book.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
And so we have fun with that one right now. That's kind of our, those are our two that we keep reading over and over.
Yeah.
We do that. We get in phases.
Yeah.
You know, like anything with kids.
Yep. They do like to read the same thing again.
Yes, we do.
And again.
Yeah. And again.
And again.
Yes.
And they don't think in seasons like we do. They, my girls get mad at me for putting the Christmas books back with the Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but it's not, I'm like, it's not Christmas. Like, to me, logical. Like, no, we're not reading a Christmas book right now. Like, no, but I love that, you know. And
the Olivia Christmas book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. We had that argument. Yeah. So it's now on the bookshelf with all the books and we read it.
See, our kids were just like, can we get rid of the Nutcracker? And I'm like, yeah, we can do that. It's fine.
Yeah.
So. We didn't mind. It was a little dark for them.
Yeah.
I mean, just.
Yeah.
It was kind of like it's all a fever dream, right? So.
Yeah.
So it's.
Yeah.
I don't remember it that way as a kid, though.
Depends on which version you're reading. So we had one. We just got rid of it. On our trip to McKay's, where we found lots of great books.
You do. Yeah.
I'll tell you about one of them that I got later.
All right.
But one of them was, but ours was illustrated by Maurice Sendak, who illustrated Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
And confession, our kids don't like Where the Wild Things Are.
A lot of kids don't.
Yeah. And I mean, I remembered it fondly as a child. My wife didn't like it at all. And it's just personal
it's
preference.
One of those
things. But yeah.
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 And it just didn't connect with my kids. Your kids wouldn't have read this yet because they're too little. Not Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins Twisted. Pippi Longstocking. Have your girls read that yet, Dave?
I mean, I remember the show or movie, whatever, growing up.
You haven't read the book?
I don't recall.
I don't remember if I read it or not.
Okay.
I remember parts of it. I think I did read it.
Okay. So... It was this will give you some insight into my oldest's personality. We were reading this book and she made us stop reading it. And the reason that she made us stop reading it is because she was very upset because Pippi Longstocking was a poorly supervised little girl. Where were her parents when she was doing all of these things? And it's like this was her biggest concern is
her world view.
Yeah, where's this child's parents?
That's funny.
I saw an article about Kristen Bell and her opinion on Snow White. You saw that, she didn't provide consent to the prince to kiss her because she was asleep and. In a Me Too era, I totally get it. It was like that. There was the other thing was, just blindly accepting an apple from a witch. That's probably not a good idea, kids, or to adults either. Yeah, that's probably not good. But
yeah.
I mean, couldn't we say this same for most fairy tale?
I know. You could you like really wanted to like hone
and
in
the
on
Disney
them.
Version of those fairy tales is. So different than the actual versions of the
Brothers Grimm stuff is dark.
It is
it's
dark
twisted.
I know. Yeah.
And scary.
Little kids disappear in that.
Yep.
Not the same.
Yeah, the moral of the story is
no happy
don't get
endings
eight.
There.
Yeah. Don't get exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like where Willy Wonka went originally. Like, where'd those kids go?
Yeah.
We don't really know.
Yeah.
They're just not there anymore.
The Roald Dahl books are
I know. Wow.
Kind of dark.
All right. Is there any in middle reader that that you would love people to know about too?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Wing Feather Saga series.
Mm.
So good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And who wrote that?
Andrew Peterson.
Yes.
I read the first book, and in full disclosure, did not love the first few chapters.
Mm-hmm.
The first few chapters, I kept telling we had a book club here, and we were reading those together.
Oh.
And I kept telling our peers in the book club that I just couldn't do it. But then they were like, keep reading. And It was like it turned a page.
Yeah.
And then I could not put it down. So it's a good, it's a fun one.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's one that I can't wait to read with my kids in a couple of years.
It's, it's really good. And I mean, I actually had kind of a not dissimilar experience to you with the first one. I mean, it took a little bit to get into it. Part of it for me was that it's like, and as you've, I'm sure you've noticed as you've kept reading through the series, you see Peterson get more comfortable in his own skin as a writer, which means he's not relying on humor quite so much,
right?
Which even by his own admission, was insecurity.
Yeah, I think too. There's so many different terms and people you're learning about.
Yeah,
that are made up.
Yeah.
Names, essentially.
Yeah.
That you're having to keep that all straight. And once you kind of hit the actual story, it gets really good. But you just have to push through the first like 3 or 4 chapters. And then.
Yeah. Fuck, there's another book we were really talking about lately. It was that same thing. Like, just hang in there for the. I can't remember what it was, but.
I don't know. I can tell you it wasn't Moby Dick.
It wasn't Moby. Poor Moby Dick.
God. No. By the way, one of our listeners, a guy named Phil Wade, made sure to let us know that we lost credibility. By all unironically dissing Moby Dick.
I would argue we lost credibility a long time before that.
Did we have credibility to begin with?
I don't think we ever did. So,
but I mean, here's the thing. What some people call losing credibility, I prefer to think of as courageous truth-telling.
Yeah.
Because
you're not sugarcoating.
That's right, because Moby Dick is trash.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Now, we have an abridged version at home that cuts out all the fluff. Basically all of the 18th century nautical knowledge that is required to understand the book.
call me Ian.
It still starts with call me Ishmael. But my kids actually enjoyed that abridged version.
Well,
which was good. I still haven't read it because
I can't hurt myself that way. There's lots to read.
I have way better things to read right now. Like, literally anything.
So good.
Bless it.
So good.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So I confess, I've not read the Wingfeather Saga yet. So it's not.
Get on that.
Whether there's open shaming. No. There's no excuse at all.
There's no episode without Dave getting shamed on something.
I get shamed a lot. I'm like, guys, like, I just. You know, I'm reading other stuff. So I'm not shaming you for not reading the history books I'm reading.
Well, but here's the thing. Look at it as a history book.
Okay.
Just think about it that way.
All right.
It's the history of a fictional world.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
That's
a little bit of a different twist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just think about it that way.
It's looking back.
It's
kind of.
Okay. All right.
Kind of.
Okay. Don't Hobbit me. All right.
No.
No, it's not like that.
It's nothing like the Hobbit.
No.
Okay.
Nothing like the Hobbit.
Cool. No, I've wanted to. It's just. Yeah. I also.
You'll finish the first book, and be like, I have to have the second one.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll just get it from Jennifer's office.
Yeah.
I see it sitting there. Or your office. I can't do that.
Do not go into Rachel's office and steal a book.
Yeah, you cannot do that.
Steal without permission.
She has lots
of.
Yeah,
that's
steal without permission. I like that. Sure. Dave has a lot of reading to do. I'm reading other things, guys. It's not like I'm not reading, all right? I'm just, I do.
We know you're reading.
I am yearning for good fiction right now, so I'm all in.
Good.
So, good.
Don't you think...
You could always go downstairs and buy your own copies, too.
Thank you.
In your role.
Thank you.
So,
thank
in
you.
Your role
Lifeway
here,
Christmas store.
Yeah.
Thank
both
you.
Of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you... Like, I want to read fiction.
Yes.
I want to get out of this other space that we all live in.
Yeah.
I
read
Christian nonfiction.
Which is great and wonderful and serves its purpose.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I love... the escape that fiction provides.
Yeah, of course.
Well, see,
I'm with you.
So, I mean, it's what, like, there are many reasons why I don't watch Christian movies, but we can't get it again
because
we like our jobs. So that's all I'm going to say. I just don't. Anyway,
it's okay.
Moving on. But but I mean, with when I look at entertainment, when I look at books, when I look at music and things like this,
Part of it is like part of the reason why I like those things is because I'm in the professional Christian environment.
Yeah.
All day.
I don't like, you know, I don't have a lot of friends who aren't in the same circles aside from my neighbors. And I kind of just know them a little bit because I'm working.
Yeah.
No,
I get it.
So it's like, so.
And it, when it becomes your job to a degree, it just strips some of the entertainment factor, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the helpful factor
yeah.
out of it because you're looking at it in a different light.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that with folks who work in, you know, I used to work in music
and it did the same thing
right.
for me. Like I couldn't listen to anything without being critical.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, fiction is the thing that I can kind of let it go a little bit and just really enjoy reading without having to overanalyze what I'm reading.
Right.
You know?
You know, I would be interested in finding out from you know, someone who's working in, you know, mainstream fiction.
Yeah.
What is their escape?
Right. Is
for
it
them?
Like,
do they just
business
go
books?
Do they go deeper down the well? Are they reading Amish romance? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Let me answer.
They're
a little
listening
bit.
To podcasts.
They're listening to podcasts. Are they, you know?
My mom reads a ton of fiction. She always has. Yeah. She goes into, she'll like read about a subject that whatever the fiction tackles, and she then wants to read a history book about it. I mean, that's part of where my love comes. She wants to like learn, get more information about that particular time period. So
setting
if she reads about, you know, Mrs. Churchill, she'll want to read more about World War II or Churchill War Rooms or something like that. I don't know. But like that's how I was seen. I don't know. There's so much fiction to read, like to keep you entertained, challenged. It's not, you know, it's funny. We talk about this. It's, I'm the same thing. I love the escapism. I love it when it just stirs something in you. You know, there's something that fiction does that it's hard for nonfiction to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Like fiction,
like when
it's a story.
You're sad that the book is about to end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
When you're like, this has been a companion.
Yeah.
And I'm really sad that it's over.
Well, I mean, that actually reminds me of a conversation that we have often at my house. So my wife and I, we like to read very different things. I like to read lots of different stuff. And her, like, she prefers something that's either she can learn from to do something, or it's a history-based kind of thing, that kind of thing. She's not really into the fiction side of stuff. And I've asked her, like, so what is it? What is it? And it's like, basically, it comes down to the emotional component that it's like, she doesn't like that it makes her engage emotionally that way because the emotional investment takes a toll.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, and for me, it's like, I'm okay with feeling a feeling out of a book. I'm
feeling a feeling.
I have a feeling.
I like that.
Maybe
that.
Two.
I like that.
I read The Book Thief.
Hunger, Anger Count, right?
Have you read The Book Thief?
I have not yet.
Have you read it?
Not yet.
Okay. Well,
no,
anyway.
I read a third of it. All right. So I was listening to the audiobook of it in my expired. So I didn't finish. And I want to. I want to. I liked it. I just.
So, fair warning. I don't want to. Disclosure, we're going to talk about it for a minute. So if you want to read it, just fast forward really quick. It is emotional toward the end. No one warned me about that. And I was on a plane sobbing reading this. And I'm not a crier.
Yeah.
But then it's what made me love it so much. Because you just relate to the characters that much.
Yeah.
You know.
I like
it was
that.
Really well written. I'm reading his other book, Bridge of Clay, right now.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Cool.
It's new. I just started it.
Cool.
So we'll see. It's always hard to like read the same author when you've loved a book so much because
What if it's not as good?
Right.
Yeah.
What if you don't like it as much? It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Do people like John Green books as much as they like other books than Fault in Our Stars? I'm just trying to think, like, when you got that one that's
I
like huge.
I think that one is kind of the...
Paper Towns is...
Has he written another book?
The Turtle one and Paper Towns.
I didn't even read the other ones.
Paper Towns and one other, I think.
I think it's hard when there's movie or other entertainment attached. for other people. It's a great point. For most readers.
Follow-up question. Hold on. Okay. All right. Favorite movie adaptations of beloved kids' books? Do you have any favorites?
Oh, of kids' books.
Yeah. Like when and who screwed it up too?
Oh, I want to know. Yeah. Well, that one's easier because about everybody screwed it up.
Yeah.
Like who directed the, what it came out last year? The movie was utter trash. I know that's vague.
The Giver.
There was that one. That was the year before.
That was a bad movie, but we love the book.
That screwed up the book.
Yeah. But the movie was womp.
It was blah. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
No.
It was just blah.
Stitch in Time. No.
Wrinkle in Time.
Thank you. I'm having a hard time today.
We butchered that.
Sorry.
About eight episodes ago.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry.
No.
It was.
No, I loved those books growing up, but the movie, from everything that you and Barnabas have said, is like utter trash.
Yeah, what's funny is, you know, I think it was the first movie that Madeline, my oldest daughter, had read the book and then like immediately saw the movie and she was like horrified.
Yeah.
Was how bad it was. Yeah. And that just says, when a child is saying that, this is not David Barnabas. This is
sad.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I think the Harry Potter movies are well done for the most part.
Love
the
them.
Sets. Yeah. I mean, that's hard to like capture that world. And then I liked the Narnia movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought those.
I mean, they.
Pretty, I don't have a strong opinion. I've enjoyed them. I know what Barnabas would say, but
I mean, they're not. Yeah.
There's some animation towards the end that I was like, man, that's sad.
Yeah, you could see where
the
they ran out of money.
As well, well done.
Yeah,
like I liked the casting.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with the movies. I enjoyed them for what they were. I could compartmentalize them and not do the, well, these are not like the book here. Well, and it's like, who cares? The books are different.
You have 2 hours
to
cram in what should probably be like a 34-hour movie.
Yep.
If you did it exactly like
that. Correct. And if it was exactly like the book, it would be completely.
It wouldn't work.
No, you have to keep it moving.
Right, the story doesn't play.
People, what you can get away with in a book as far as movement, you can't do that on screen.
No, nope. So it's okay.
I don't know.
I can't think of a really great adaptation that I've been like, wow. I'm really, really impressed.
Animation is tricky, no doubt. In a different era when a story would need really good animation, but it didn't exist. So it's it's hard to judge things like 20 years ago and beyond because, what did you have to work with?
Yeah.
I loved Little Women.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Loved,
yeah.
I didn't watch it.
But I loved that book.
You didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it.
Okay, what's okay?
I love that movie, but I love that book, and it didn't bother me. Like the movie version didn't bother me.
That's right. I haven't. I have seen it. Like it's been a while.
It's probably not for your wider audience, but
the book is
a segment that knows that.
The book is huge.
The book is.
I know.
Yeah. It has some
Laura
Ingalls
Wilder, right?
Is it a little bit gritty?
I don't know.
Gritty.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, maybe. Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
No. Right. Not in comparison to what we've just, what else we've referenced.
So good. So good.
That's certainly true. That's certainly true.
I will say Madea has some content.
Okay.
Content.
All right.
So.
Yes, content.
It's a little gritty.
Lots of different content. Just
that kind of content.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Watch at your own risk.
All right. We should we should bring ourselves close to the end here.
That's awesome.
But, you know, you threw out a question, I think, if I remember correctly, Dave, about earlier in this, you wanted to know who what character in a book Rachel would want to sucker punch.
Yeah.
In his stupid face.
I think we're going to ask every guest that's this point on.
I don't know. I don't know about book. And actually I do, but I can't say it here.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay.
I will
content.
Say, can I
content.
Say, can I mean, it's a leadership author. I'll just say that.
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
Content.
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 But I'm not going to say which one, and that's vague enough.
job. Good.
Yeah.
Good yep. job. Yeah. Yes.
So
jobs she's are following the rule.
Job
don't
is good.
Get fired.
The rule.
Well done.
Well done. Right. As far as character in general.
Yep.
Maybe, okay, this is probably not popular, it's but okay. maybe Phoebe off of Friends.
Ooh.
I just okay. hate how dumb she acts. I can't get past it. I'm like, I know you're really not that stupid. Well, and she like yeah. gives instances where you're like, oh, you just said something intelligent. So we know you're not an idiot. So yeah. why do you act like that all the time?
Yeah. Fair. Fair. Yeah.
Fair.
That is fair.
Sucker punch.
Sucker punch.
Sucker punch. Oh, see, we've already offered.
We're not
our
gonna. Yeah, we're not gonna. We can't. We can't endorse that.
No, we can't. You know, not in physical.
No, that would sound like
it's metaphorical. Yeah.
It's metaphorical. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. We'd give him a big hug.
We'd give him a good talking to.
Yeah,
stern. We'd write a sternly worded letter.
We would yeah. write stern, a letter.
Yeah, and then file it.
And then file it.
And then file it,
we
file it away.
In the wisdom of Abraham Lincoln.
That's right.
Yes.
That's also what you're supposed to do when you're. When you're feeling disgruntled
in
your job.
I'm going to think on that, though.
Yeah. So, okay.
You should.
Because
you
should. I was not prepared to answer that.
It's okay.
But I could be prepared.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll work harder next time.
You know, here's the thing. We're actually going to open that up to our listeners as well. Listeners,
yes.
What character would you sucker punch right in his stupid face? We would do that.
And you can't name any of us.
Or her. Yeah, I know. We know.
We're not characters in books.
We know. That you feel that way.
Only one of the regular hosts on this show
yeah.
has ever been a character in a book. And he's not on the show right now.
That's true. Yeah, it's very true. Oh,
and well. I don't think Barnabas wants to be sucker punched.
He does not.
No,
he doesn't approve of that.
No, but think about fiction. Think about the terrible people you read about.
Yeah.
Let us know. Let us know on the Twitter.
That with your
Malcontents Pod.
You know what, though? Yeah. I find that if there's a character that I just can't get past, I don't continue reading books.
Mm.
I just put the book down.
Yeah, really?
Like, I don't have time.
So did you do that with Holden Caulfield and Catcher in the Rye?
Actually,
did you have to read that in high school?
I had to read it.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. So, that's the only reason you got through it?
Yeah, okay. It was not my favorite.
There you go.
Sorry.
No, it's fair. I hated that book. He's who I want. Right in the face.
We all agree. We all agree in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Oh gosh. All right.
There we go.
Let's put a bow on this.
Yes. Let's wrap this up.
What are we reading? That's gonna be the question. Yeah. You can think on that for a second. I'll go to Aaron.
Man,
first.
You're putting me in the hot seat right now.
Well,
okay,
what do you
that's
got?
Fine. So I am wrapping up two books right now, and preparing for the third. So I am just about finished Friday Night Lights.
Oh yeah. Aaron's reading sports books these days. It's
we'll debrief on that.
Yeah.
A little bit later. But I'm also finishing. I finished. Last week, A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Backman, and I'm almost done Bear Town, also by Frederick Backman. Man Called Uwe was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was like stupidly brilliant, and considering it was originally published in Swedish, we're reading translations.
It's very well written.
My goodness.
Yeah. I read Bear Town and I read a little bit of it, but that's it.
Yeah. And that actually was, and actually I picked up one of his other books at the used store on the weekend.
Cool.
So that's one of the ones that I'm preparing to start. But oh my gosh, there is a character that needs more than just being punched in the face in Bear Town. But I am looking forward to starting Britt Marie Was Here. Which is another one of his books.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, all right. The 13 Clocks by James Thurber. I had to look it up again because I hated it. It's a kid's book.
Mm-hmm.
It was on a list recommended for my oldest daughter, Madeline, of like books that she may enjoy. This was trying to expose her to more books. And that was one, and none of us liked it. So there you go. I'm not recommending it. I don't even know. I mean,
lists.
What?
Meh.
Yeah, I know, but it's okay. Sometimes it's important to know what not to read, and there you go.
Don't.
It was a
don't read that book.
It was a two star. It wasn't, I don't know, I figured I'd give it an extra star just because.
Is that like a participation trophy? That it's I think you just said, well, good job, sport, pat him on the head.
One is reserved for the harshest. Okay. And, you know, it's kind of like you got to earn the five. You also have to earn in the opposite way the one star. Mm. Like you got to go, you got to really blow it. So. Yeah. There you go. Two star.
All right.
There you go. All right, Rachel. What you got?
Bridge of Clay, which I mentioned.
Yeah.
I just started.
Cool.
And I'm still reading the Hillbilly Elegy.
Content warning. Content.
That's a hard one. That's hard. It's got both grit and content.
Grit and content and humor. Mm-hmm. I think my husband's family experienced similar... Has a similar background, generations removed. And so he really related to that. And and so I'm reading it, but it's taking me longer to get through. But those are the two, other than the lots and lots of kids' books we read every day.
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
It's fun.
More than once.
Yep. Yes, more than once.
Yep. And like, there's really? Nothing wrong with that.
No, it's great. I love it.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I love it.
All right.
Well, Rachel, we've loved having you. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
You are welcome to sub in for Barnabas anytime.
All right.
There you go. Or kick me out for one.
Yeah, or we can kick out Dave for one.
That's fine.
The only one who possibly cannot be kicked out is me because we record everything on my laptop.
He's important. Yeah, Aaron's going to be in all of these. I'm just going to tell you there. I'm going to get kicked out of a few, but that's
okay. We'll see what happens in Minneapolis.
That's right. Yeah, we're trying.
That's right. So, all right. So, listeners, hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to everyone who left a rating and review over this past week on iTunes.
You
guys are amazing and funny. So, thank you. We're glad you're enjoying the Canadian-ness, the Star Wars references, Barnabas being Barnabas and Dave being Dave.
Yeah. So. Just kind of. Even.
That's right.
Even. Nothing really right. there.
It's good.
Vanilla. Just, you don't dislike it. You don't love it either.
Self-deprecating.
Yeah. He's just kind of there.
You know, you're fishing.
Hey,
right
everyone
now.
Loved Ed McMahon, all right? He's a good dude. Didn't really rock the boat.
Yes!
Aaron. Rachel.
Oh, gosh.
You are correct, sir.
All right. Quit it. But yeah, keep leaving your ratings, reviews, keep making fun of Dave, make him feel better too. Just let him know you care. He'll eventually read it on Twitter. Maybe. But,
Twitter. Twitter.
In three weeks.
In between 4 days and 3 months.
I have the app back on my phone.
Oh, good.
Whenever he has the next flight. Yeah. And he's waiting in the airport.
That's right. So Minneapolis.
Yeah.
That's true.
There we go. All right. And thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.